Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
This weekend, we come to the conclusion of the Bread of Life discourse that we have been listening to for the last several weeks. It is a discourse that began immediately following the great miracle, the multiplication of loaves in John's Gospel, in which he feeds the 5,000. And out of that miracle comes a dialogue with all those that were there that had eaten and had their fill. And through this, Jesus has been referring constantly to Moses and the great gift of manna in the desert, and that there is something greater than Moses here, something greater than that experience of manna. Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life, and all who come to him will never hunger, all that receive from him will never thirst. But today, this dialogue takes on a sharper turn. As the gospel ended last week, we pick up again. And Jesus once again says, "I am the bread that came down from heaven, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." And immediately, instead of a dialogue, we're told that the people that are there quarrel. And there is a confrontation that starts to take place. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus does not back away from that statement. In fact, he becomes even more emphatic. The word that he uses in the Greek for eat changes. It changes from just a simple word that means to eat or consume and turns into a word that is translated to chew. Becomes very concrete, very fleshy. And instead of backing away, he looks at the crowd and says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you." And he calls them to recognize that it's truly in feeding on him somehow, in that experience of eating his flesh and drinking his blood, that they come into communion with him. "Unless you eat my flesh, or if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you remain in me and I in you. And I will raise that person on the last day and give them eternal life." Jesus insists that this is the pathway. The pathway to life with him. And it's a very challenging sort of statement, because what Jesus is ultimately getting at there is that what we celebrate in this experience as Christians, as we read this gospel, as Christians we come to understand, as we ask the question, well, what is this flesh? Where do we receive this flesh? Where do we receive this blood? And the gospel of John is emphatic. We receive it right here. It's in the midst of the Eucharist that we encounter the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's in the Eucharist that Christ's flesh is given to us freely. What we do here isn't just a symbol of something or some ritual that we do among ourselves. What we receive here isn't just food for the journey that gives us grace and helps us make it to the end. What we receive here is really and truly the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. That is the faith of the church. That is what we believe. And it's a hard saying. It's hard for us in many ways to wrap ourselves around that. Even today, it was hard then. We will hear next weekend after this exchange between Jesus and the crowd that his disciples, not the crowd, his disciples say, this saying is hard. Who can accept it? And they walk away. Most of them leave and go back to the lives that they had before, just as many people leave in confrontation with this mystery. And Jesus' response is not to explain himself, not to somehow say that it's not what they think. And his very emphatic statements and the fact that people walk away should give us pause if we try to spiritualize this gospel too much. They understand what he's saying. Instead, Jesus turns to his most intimate group and says, do you want to leave as well? And St. Peter, not understanding any more than the crowd, not having any real comprehension of what Jesus is trying to say, nevertheless trusts in the person of Jesus. He trusts in the person of Jesus and he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. And that somehow, if that is what Christ proclaims, then that is truth. And Peter will follow. One of the priests of our diocese a while back was telling me about his first communion homily. And it's a homily I wish I had thought up. But at the first communion celebrations, he brings out a Christmas creche, a nativity scene. And he has it all set up there, with the angels and the shepherds and the magi and Mary and Joseph. And right in the place where you would see the manger, there's a box. And as he talks to the young children, he said, he gets to that point and he said, well, what's under the box? And they say, Jesus. And he says, how do you know that? And they say, because he's supposed to be there. He's supposed to be there. Our Lord and Savior says he is there in his flesh and his blood. My brothers and sisters, that is our faith. And as much as that is true, I have to admit that there's been a couple times in my priesthood where I think I've really been aware of the depth of the mystery and the gift that is in my hands. But I also am very aware that there are many times that I come into this with very little awareness of what's going on. There's been times that I've gotten halfway through the Mass and kind of woken up and thought, where am I in all this? There's been times where I've really not been attentive to that mystery, not aware or understanding really what it is that I'm engaged in and what I do. And yet I also have to say anecdotally that I know somehow deep within myself that without what I do here, I would be lost, that I need this. I celebrate this every single day. And I'll be honest, brothers and sisters, I don't know that I could do what I could do if I didn't celebrate this every single day. I think of the times in my life where there has been turmoil and struggle in my heart, and how often that finds resolution and peace in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. I truly believe that if we spend time with the Blessed Sacrament regularly and bring ourselves to prayer here, that somehow we will come to see and recognize God's presence in the everyday. Mother Teresa said, if you make the Eucharist the center of your life, you regularly receive the Eucharist and allow that to be the center point of your prayer, then you will not struggle to see Jesus in the everyday. You will not struggle to see Jesus in the life of the poor. And you will serve him with generosity and with gratitude. I need what I receive here. I know that when people get disconnected from what we receive here, our sense and our awareness of the divine leaves us. My brothers and sisters, the Eucharist really is everything for us. We encounter Christ with an intimacy here in this place like we do no other time. And it's in that and in receiving that that Christ transforms us. that our hearts are expanded, that we take on the charity as we conform ourselves of charity itself, of love that is given, of a love that is given by being broken and poured out for the life of the world. It's in the experience of the Eucharist that we are transformed into Christ's body, into Christ's blood, really and truly, to draw others to the mystery that we celebrate here. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you. The very lifeblood, the beating heart of our Christian life, is the sacrament we celebrate here. We desperately need it. And Christ feeds us in that desperation to lead us to Him, to lead us to the Father, where we dwell with Christ and where we will have life, life that is given and poured out for the life of the world, life that eternally enjoys God's presence forever. Amen.